Welcome to the MadTech Podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello and welcome to today's very special edition of the MadTech Podcast. We're going to be talking to Dave Barr and Nick Fletcher, founders of Truthex. Guys,
morning.
Welcome.
Morning.
Morning, morning. Sun is shining.
It is. Yeah. Well, we're in a 33-degree London week, so it's been a hot one. But we've got loads to talk about today, guys. I want to start off by chatting a little bit to both of you about what you've done, your career paths, and what's brought you to develop Truthex. Dave, start with you.
So what have I done? I've been in ad tech and media for maybe too long, over 30 years now. I've always been the person that's been the number on my head and basically had always the revenue target across the business. I've worked as a publisher for multiple years, back in the day when ISPs were, internet service providers were analog rather than broadband. I've worked for ad tech companies. I've worked for startups. And where Truthex comes in, and Nick and I will talk about it later, is actually it is solving a problem that in many different parts of my career I've experienced. So my last 10 years of my life, I've helped three different companies either get to exit or private equity investment. And very much the best part, the most fun part of my media career is building something, scaling it, and solving a problem that helps the industry.
Amazing. Nick, tell us about your path to Truthex.
Not quite been in the industry as long as Dave has, but not too short of. But, opposite to Dave's side, I've always been in product. So always worked my career for publishers, going in and looking at new commercial product opportunities that the companies are looking to do. Occasionally we would look at, what was set up and see how we could strengthen it. But my key focus has always been, what aren't we doing? Where should we be? And what should we build to get there? And that has always been the products that I've led for those companies. It's been exciting. It's been nice. I've stepped from publishing into ad tech once or twice. Always found my way back to publishing, but now with the studios, this is sort of my home ground. This is what I love doing, and the studios gives us that canvas to keep doing it. So yeah, really excited to be here and obviously talk about Truthex.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much both for joining me. I think we'll go quite wide to start with. Yep. So there is, digital publishing has changed a lot over the years. It now attracts a truly global audience. What are the challenges of this for publishers? Where's the friction, you guys?
I think it's been, Dave and I have been talking about this for quite some time, really. But I think the main challenges that publishers are seeing is editorial restraints, and that diminishing over the last few years. And every year there seems to be another thing that comes out, which is new legislation that sort of blocks you from generating revenue or losing another chunk of that traffic that comes to your site. We see a lot of it. We've been through a lot of it, and I think sort of the international challenges that people are visiting sites from foreign countries quite regularly now. There's a lot of good content coming out of, UK or any other, America or whatever it could be, that is truly international content, but it's not quite adapted for it. And I think that's sort of one of the major restraints that I think publishing is seeing at the moment. I think that you see a big, large chunk of inventory, which is foreign language, that is kind of just pushed aside of the rest of world. It's not really thought about, and it's, if we can make some money out of it, great, that's a nice thing to have, but it's not really thought about as a premium sell opportunity. And I think that's one of the major restraints that publishers aren't quite looking at the moment.
Yeah, it's just not kind of,
it's just not their forefront of mind. They just don't think or anything is there as a possibility. So I think, bringing that to light, hopefully this will help realize that there is large amount of opportunity there.
Yeah, a massive opportunity. Dave, what do you think how can publishers take advantage, and what do you think the friction points are?
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, one of my previous roles, just over 40% of our traffic was in non-local language. But despite that, it was generating over £10 million worth of revenue into the business. So it's a significant size of the thing. The reality was 60% of that traffic was unsold because when the buyer is looking, they're looking at point of page load, they're looking at it and it's not in the local language. They're not seeing that this is quality content that can be bought against it. The trade-off was it wasn't core to that company's insight. And actually, in previous days, the manual cost of translation, the process of doing it, the cost of doing that didn't make it a core problem or a viable problem that could be solved. So that's a real-life example of a publisher who is looking for revenue at this moment in time because of the difficult challenges that Nick is explaining, and yet potentially is leaving millions of dollars on the table. Secondly, from a buyer point of view, they're wanting safer, easier places to buy and better quality places to buy, but they're ignoring this great editorial inventory because they're switching it off as this is not local language. We're chatting to a Brazilian company that's going to help us launch curated packages into the Brazilian marketplace. And at this moment in time, Brazilian government will not buy any inventory unless it is in Portuguese. So no matter how good that opportunity is and how good the quality of the editorial is, at this moment in time, the lights are switched off.
So interesting. Why is that? Like, what's not there so far or hasn't been there so far for publishers to take advantage of this?
I think, you know, Dave's nailed it on the head. I think the cost previously was so large that with the advancement of AI technology and everything that's coming out into market and the capabilities that we can now accelerate with is making that opportunity much, much more feasible, much quicker. And then what we are looking to do, obviously, is we're not adapting or changing the content that previously would have been the case, that you would have a foreign language team writing content for that market. You're using your native CMS language that is international content to be translated perfectly into the foreign language that is then accessible internationally based off device language, which is the key point of TrueText when we go into it. Okay. So it's actually, making your content more accessible internationally based off the user's preferred choice of language. That is a massive, you know, game changer that things like Brazil can open up to, because that Brazilian government will try and retain that revenue for Brazilian content because that's one of their nationality sort of strategies that helps the money stay within the region. By doing what we are doing and unlocking that, does allow it to also stay within the region, but also sort of be accessible as content to the people that want to consume that content. Now, another example is even in sort of, you know, Africa, there's a UK publisher that has a lot of Premiership football content in the UK, and there's a lot of African players in the Premiership that they want to consume and read about those players in that region. And again, you know, they've got very similar restraints, but unlocking that content actually is going to release 20% of that publisher's traffic back into circulation at a premium rate. So it's things like that where, you know, the advancement of technology is allowing us to make that movement so much more quicker and adaptable into the publisher's capabilities, that alongside that is where Dave comes in with the revenue side, and the opportunity is also grows what we are doing from a technology point to actually make it commercially viable for the publisher as well. So it's kind of like it's just the day and age we're in, and it's, you know, it's exciting.
Definitely. It's funny how simple it is and how it just makes sense. You're talking about the size of this opportunity and, you know, of course, reaching people with your content in their native language is ideal. Dave, you touched on, you know, the revenue side of it. How much money is being left on the table? What's the size of this opportunity, do you reckon?
Well, I mean, if you look at the size of the opportunity, it could be as large as $100 billion globally, because what we're looking to do is improve multiple areas. So for example, user goes to non-local language, they bounce. So firstly, they're not as engaged, so the experience isn't there. So what we're looking to do is, what TrueText will do, is improve that user experience and the engagement. Then also, the buyer is buying it at a higher rate, buying at a higher price, but also by introducing new buyers, the fill rate is going up. So actually what we're looking here is a revenue per session experience for the publishers. And in multiple meetings that we've had in launching this, is it's lots of 3% and 5%. You know, there's one publisher that didn't realize that 9% of their traffic was in India because the revenue it was making was very poor and the fill rate was incredibly poor. However, that publisher is in an area whereby some of the largest spenders and sponsors are Indian companies, and they're now looking to use TrueText as a way to elevate their offering to that community, potentially invest more into editorial in the back of that, and secure significant sponsorship on the back of it. So it's one of those things where it's almost a footnote on the revenue meeting. It's rest of the world. It's not talked about. And yet, it's 40% of your revenue. On the other side, when we're speaking to buyers in this marketplace, the SSPs and the buyers, again, in the meetings that we've had, they're not really focusing on that. It's all talking about US. It's all talking about the UK. It's all talking about those core markets. And yet, 40% of the traffic they're seeing isn't being addressed, isn't being there. So again, what this will do is will open up better quality inventory for those buyers to buy because they're only wanting local language and at this moment they're turning off. So again, from a buyer's point of view, it's a better experience and a better offer.
Yeah, it's so for me when I think about this and the launch, sport rings a bell with me. Nick, you talked about, you know, the Premier League, its popularity across the globe. So its popularity across.
We can translate that for you.
Thank you. Please. And it is such, you know, that's an interesting case point because we're coming up to a World Cup and there's so much content around it and so much you can do with the passion of sports fans and how people want to get involved. This seems like a natural kind of home for sport as well.
Yeah, I mean, sport is one of those, you know, safer areas, especially when you dabble in the world of translation. You know, translating into politics or news can be a bit more risky because, you know, one slight error in translation could cause a massive problem with the content. But, you know, the way that we've built this translation tech is that the AI will constantly learn. We can also adapt it and change it as we need to. So we can teach the AI to work on abbreviations or translation errors. We will teach that lexicon constantly. And the more content that flows through it, the stronger it's going to get. So, you know, this is just the start and already it's very, very accurate in its translations from what we've seen. But, you know, the world of sport is sort of what I think you and I both agree is going to be the massive sweet spot. You know, you look at the likes of Formula One or football or, you know, sort of comes to the Rugby World Cup or anything like that. Like these are fully language-based sort of restrictions that publishers might publish. So if we can eliminate the overheads of translating it into, you know, the core 8 to 10 languages internationally and have that automatically translated and automatically recalled as an ad unit as a premium position, these publishers aren't having to lift a finger in a diminishing market. We're actually giving them the opportunity to be fully international at zero overheads and helping them regrow what's being lost, the stuff that they need to refine. Like everybody's searching, what's the next big thing? How am I going to get this out? What can I do to make my content stronger or more viral? Like there's sort of overstepping, overlooking what TrueText is the opportunity to do, which is, you know, have a conversation with us and we'll turn it on and watch that traffic side grow. And as Dave mentioned, you know, like what might be a small 20% of your traffic in, well, I'll say small, but 20% is quite large in Africa. Like if you actually translate it into French and actually start using it as premium content, that actually might become 50% of your publication's sort of readership. So, I mean, that's obviously exaggerated numbers, but, you know, there is evidence to suggest with the tests that we're doing that regions grow when you use TrueText because people can now consume it. People now understand it. They now know that that content's available. They use social media to share it now that it's available. And, you know, you get that sort of that driver from those users, which, you know, as we built TrueText was always kind of this enhancer on the revenue line. But actually, as Dave mentioned, like we are beginning to see that the dwell time, the usership on the page is actually far greater. And that's actually growing the traffic in that area. You know, one thing to mention as well is that, you know, video is often deactivated by the publishers, especially when it comes to sport, because if it is in foreign language and people have bounced, then it's going to cost you more money to have video on page without a play than it is to have it. So they just disable it and not have it there. Whereas TrueText, obviously translating it and bringing it back to life, you get revenue figures there that was a zero on the line and making it all good again.
It's so interesting how it's, yeah, you know, there's kind of possibilities across, you know, the revenue side, the publisher side, the dwell, you know, audience as well. It's super interesting.
I mean, we talk about sport, but from the meetings we've had, it's got a role, and sometimes it's got rules we hadn't considered. So, for example, we had a meeting with a very recognised food brand that has strong global traffic, and what they were seeing that was their experience in America was a poorer engagement, a poorer dwell time, and a poorer monetization. And going through it, actually, it was minor, a little thing that actually can address a big problem. So, for example, for an American, they measure their food in cups, but those cups are different sizes according to the ingredient. So actually using the technology and building it and that learning process by just making a simple thing a better experience has the potential of generating very strong revenues for a publisher away from sport, away from news, etc., but across there. And what's been great about getting this to this stage is because we have got so many test publishers in the background working with us, etc., the needs and desires for what TrueText can deliver to them is adapting all the time. And then that gives us the ability to scale it better for all our partners going forward.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, the scaling of it and I suppose how it's become about, really. Nick, you said the magic word at the moment, which is AI. and I can't let you get away without talking about that. And, yeah, you know, how it's, I suppose, opened the doors for you guys. So tell me a little bit about what AI is making possible across the industry.
That's one hell of a question. Look, I'll bring it to sort of TrueText as an example. Well, I mean, you know, as we mentioned, speed and pace is something that is the key winner when using AI. I think a lot of people look at it and either get scared or so I think it's built with AI, sort of turn their nose up at it. I think there's a big question mark around it, and I've spoken to a few developers in my time about it, and I think we've all got the same opinion that as long as you're using AI in the correct manner, it's very, very beneficial to the way that you accelerate products. You know, TrueText itself was built exceptionally well and quickly using AI. We've got the algorithms and all the sort of can't think of the word now because it's gone, but the matrix, that's what I was thinking of for the, you know, like as Dave was mentioning, the food conversions and having that to sort of, you know, what would have taken us months and months and months to build is now, you know, if you feed the AI correctly with the right information, it will give you exactly what you need. It's just a case of once you've got everything out of it that you need, you then need to work with someone to put it all together. And I think that's sort of the way that the world is. I think people think, oh, I just ask AI and it will build me a business. It's not quite as simple as that. You've got to feed it with the right information. You then got to get everything and kind of pull it all together and make sure that it all works correctly. And there's still a human element to it. So, yeah, I think that's sort of my take on AI at the moment. But we're using it to the right benefits to the businesses that we're working with.
Yeah, so more of a building block than a, you know, a muse for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. Dave, any thoughts on on AI's potential?
Well, again, from a very simple point of view, we've managed to get to where we are quicker, cheaper than any incubation now I've ever been involved with. But then we look at the opportunity that Nick's talked about earlier, AI video, translated video. Suddenly you're looking at A, reopening taps that are shut off, and B, delivering strong CPMs for publishers for their quality video content. And at this moment in time, we are a good way down building that video translation opportunity that in previous lives would have been a multi-million pound investment with a significant development team. And in fact, we're able to take something, get it to concept quicker, leaner, and get to the marketplace. And again, without AI, two companies ago, we were talking about a video solution that I was working for, and that was in the roadmap for 18 months down the line because we knew how much it was going to cost and how it would distract the core business. AI has helped change that.
Yeah, it's just removing these boundaries to getting that kind of work done. Yeah. What the multimedia play is interesting. You said about the video, and obviously, like you said, that was time consuming. That was something that was going to take a lot of time. How far are you along with that? I know it's, very much
the video product.
Yeah, the video product, and what's next for it?
So again, I mean, like, we're in very, very early stages, and a lot of what we've done at the moment is, we've built the early stage video opportunity, and we've got a more detailed video opportunity. So the video for us at the moment is, out of the box standard is that we will subtitle the video. So what we're doing is we are listening to the video content, we're taking speech to text, subtitling it and overlaying it with the branding of the publisher. So that then sits on the video page with subtitle, but in native language. That's the very easy, quick solution. Further down the line in the roadmap, once we've got the business more established and a bit more sort of revenue rich, we can complete the second part of video, which we've been building, which is it's there, it's just not production ready. But from that side of things, we actually want to take that video content, same method, speech to text, text to AI, voiceover, and lip sync back to the video. So that presenter on screen can suddenly speak any language under the sun, and that's also translated. So I've built that piece of technology before in my past, and we're gonna stitch it in somehow in the future and make that available. But that's a later on in life scenario. It's okay. To come. Yeah, there's a little bit of insight, but there
yeah.
It is, yeah.
Okay, that's a little something to look forward to. Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for joining me. Wish you all the best with TrueText. It's such an interesting market. Thank you for shedding some light on the opportunity as well. And we'll have you back later in the year when it's all been going well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's great. And obviously, thank you. And we'll obviously be updating with the test publishers that we're going live with.
Yeah, well, we'd love to hear the results. So thank you very much both for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you all for watching and listening.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.